We are in our third of 3 weeks about healing. So let me start with a healing story. This is one of my favorite Bible stories for several reasons, but as usual, Jesus just cuts right through the posturing. The story is found only in the book of John, chapter 5. There was a pool at Bethesda near the Sheep's Gate in Jerusalem, and it had five porticos. A portico is a covered porch with columns, kind of like ours, but the Greeks built a lot of them. So five porticos, you can imagine, around a pool, this place was just beautiful. And for centuries, Bible scholars thought the writer of John had just made it up in his imagination, until archaeologists in the 1800s found the pool. And sure enough, it really is close to the Sheep's Gate in what is now the Muslim quarter of Jerusalem. The waters in this pool were believed to have special healing powers. Bethesda means house of healing or house of mercy. But according to legend, it only worked when angels stirred up the water. So the blind, the sick, and the lame would lounge around under the porticos all day. And then if the waters became troubled, they'd jump into the pool because first one into the pool gets healed. It's what they thought. So remember that in Jesus' time, Greek gods and goddesses were still prevalent. And scholars think this place might have been a temple to Aesculapius, the god of healing and medicine. So it could be that this story was written partly to say, my God's bigger than your God. Here comes Jesus. Watch this. One man was there who'd been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been there a long time, he said to the man, do you want to be made well? The sick man launched into his story. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Do you want to be made well? Jesus didn't say, oh, honey, let me heal you. He said, do you want to be made well? I can almost picture Jesus raising one eyebrow. It's a profound question because being sick was a great excuse to spend a lifetime around the pool in the shade of the portico. And just keep running the same sad story. Oh, I just can't get down to the pool in time. So I love this story in John because it's a little cynical, but it also cuts to the heart of healing. Do you want to be made well? What are the payoffs for staying sick? Or more broadly, for not being all we can be? For not living our natural state of divine wholeness? What would it mean for you to take up your mat and walk? This man, after 38 years, had to go out and make a life for himself, and we don't get that story. I think this healing story nails us for laziness about creating our own experience. At least it does me. Because creating the life you want may not be easy. Last week I told you the stories of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity, and how they both healed themselves through prayer and meditation. 130 years ago. But it took years, and they both commented on how long it took and how persistent they had to be. And the adjustments they had to make in their beliefs and outlook were life-changing. We are still trying to understand what they learned and accept their discovery that we have within us the divine power to heal our bodies with our minds. And that's what Jesus said too. Every time he said, your faith has made you well, if you want to be made well. Now, I am not saying someone who's sick just doesn't want to be well badly enough. I'm saying this isn't easy. It can take a long time, and we don't yet understand exactly how it works. But we do know we are co-creating our experience with God, and we know that health is our natural state of being. So our work then is not to buy into the mass consciousness ideas of sickness and aging and fear or just expecting disease. Even if you are sick. Charles Fillmore said, "Be wise, pronounce nothing evil, and only good will come." He said, "Shall we call everything good?" Yes. He's saying it's what we think and how we label the events of our lives that makes them true. Well, he's close. He got loose. So remember, I'm showing a short movie after the potluck today called The Cure Is. And you will hear them talk about belief and thought and the brain science that explains why our thoughts matter so much to our health. It has Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, Marianne Williamson, Bernie Siegel. They're all in this movie talking about our power to heal ourselves. And it tells some people's real healing stories too. It lasts just over an hour, so I hope you will stay for it after we eat. When the Fillmores were exploring mind over body, and they healed themselves, they started a magazine to share what they had learned. Today they would start a blog. But they were inundated with letters asking for prayer, primarily for healing. Prayers are focused thought, so they have extraordinary creative power. I believe prayer is moving energy with thought. It's not asking God out there to take some action down here. It's using the power of thought to create our lives and to support other people in creating theirs. I don't think Myrtle Fillmore expected to make a career out of praying for others. But that's how Silent Unity began in 1890. She was just answering letters. And then she hired some people to help her answer letters. And today that prayer center receives nearly 2 million calls and letters and emails every year. And about half are asking for healing. It is by far the most requested prayer. So let's talk about praying for others' healing. If we had been friends with the man at the pool of Bethesda, we probably would not have prayed for him to lie there 38 years before he was healed. But apparently that's what needed to happen. That's what it took for him to be ready to take up his mat and walk. We don't know what other people need. We don't know what's required for their soul's journey. And we can make all the judgments we want about what's good or bad for them and what ought to happen in their lives. And I do. Well, I get mad every time one of you has to deal with a physical challenge. Now, I know that's not helpful. But it is my first reaction. This is not fair, and you shouldn't have to go through it. And then I settle down and remember, I don't really know what's best for you. And then I remember all the people who have told me that illness was a great teacher and friend for them, that they grew in ways they never would have otherwise, that they live now with more compassion and appreciation for life. And even when the people we love don't get well, their lives may be unfolding exactly as needed for them. I read you a story in the first talk of this series from the new book, Mind Over Medicine, about a woman who healed relationships with her family. She let go of old baggage. She forgave. She was tuned in spiritually. And when she died, she was healed. She wasn't cured, but she was healed, and so were the people around her. So when we pray for healing, it's open-ended. We can't know what's best for another person. Praying for their highest good is really all we can do. Now, if you want to, picture them up and around and healthy. Picture them in their natural state of health. It's not always easy to do if you're in the hospital room looking at them in the bed with tubes running into them. That's why we ask each other for prayer. Sometimes people praying from a distance are more powerful because they're not bogged down in the story. They're not having to look past appearances. They can just know and affirm well-being. The best way I know to get past fear when you're trying to pray for someone you love who is sick or hurt is to ask other people to pray. And then that way, every time your fear comes up, you can remember, oh, right, lots of people are praying about this. It's all being taken care of. It's in God's hands, or the universe has gone to work on this, or the healing power of the divine is here now. Just find words that reassure you and let it go. Other people are creating their lives with their thoughts, beliefs, fears, desires, and soul plans. We can't change that for them, even when we see them hurting. But who are we to say their lives should be any different? This may be their 38 years. And our prayers support their journey. Given all that we've learned about mind over body, I have started including mind in prayers for physical healing. And some of you do that too, I've noticed on the prayer requests. So you ask for healing and peace of mind, healing and strength, healing and knowing that God's presence is in all things. Healing is a very broad word that might also include forgiveness, love, building your community. Myrtle, well, you'll hear more of that in the movie after lunch, but Myrtle Fillmore said, pray not to be healed, but for faith to know that you are naturally whole and healthy. Again, it's about state of mind. So Myrtle's exchange of letters with people who ask for prayer grew into Silent Unity, and it is now the engine of the unity movement around the world. Far more people call Silent Unity than would ever go to a unity church. You may call 24 hours a day and someone will pray with you live. It's 1-800-NOW-PRAY. And then they will keep your name and continue to pray for you for 30 days. Or you can email a prayer request through unity.org. They'll answer your email, or you can just stay anonymous. The prayer room itself is at Unity Village, which is our world headquarters outside Kansas City, Missouri. And I brought you a picture. Julia, do we have a slide? This is Silent Unity building. The light is always on. They call it the light that shines for you because someone is always praying and has been since 1890. Next week is Unity's World Day of Prayer on Thursday, September 12th. And it's the 20th anniversary. This is something else that started small, like Myrtle's letters grew. This started as a class assignment for ministerial students. They had to create some kind of ceremony. And so they said, well, let's just declare a day of prayer. And they arranged a little ceremony out by the fountains at Unity Village. James Dillett Freeman was their speaker. He is a Unity poet. He also wrote the prayer for protection that we use at the end of the service every week. And he was the director of Silent Unity for a long time. So that was 1993. Now the World Day of Prayer is this global event with a 24-hour prayer vigil, and millions of names are submitted for prayer at Silent Unity in time for World Day of Prayer. They bring in people to pray through all the names on that day. They also have ceremonies throughout the 24 hours. Some will be streamed online. Larry Dossey is speaking, the doctor who studied about the power of prayer. And this year is a very big deal, not just for the 20th anniversary, but because Unity has refurbished its famous tower and turned it into a holistic healing center. That's the next picture. Yeah, there's the tower and the fountains. So the tower has been remodeled inside and out. It took millions of dollars. And it will be reopened and dedicated on World Day of Prayer, September 12th. This building has 7 stories, and so they're dividing them into body, mind, and spirit. It's called the Awaken Whole Life Center. They've scheduled 40 retreats a year for yoga, meditation, spiritual teaching, And while you're at the village, you can get a massage in there, or you can go up to the observation deck and just look out at the countryside. It's outside of Kansas City, and so their slogan is something like, "Find your balance in the middle of the country." They're also putting in a prayer garden around the base of the tower, and it will have sculptures representing the 12 powers of humankind, which is what these quilts represent. Our church is contributing a sculpture. We bought The Power of Understanding. And it will have a little plaque or something that says this sculpture was donated by Unity of Wimberley, Texas. So World Day of Prayer and a holistic healing center, the foundation of Unity has never changed since the Fillmores. It's always been prayer and healing. So Julia, you can turn that off. We are participating here in World Day of Prayer as well. And there are three things you can do. The first is back on the prayer table, there are green half sheets where you can just list names of people for prayer. And I will send it to Silent Unity in time for the World Day. They only need names, not a situation, not even healing, prosperity, just names. Because God knows what they need. And you can leave the green sheets in the same prayer chest where we put the blue prayer requests every week. Then second, we are conducting our own 24-hour prayer vigil starting Wednesday evening, September 11th. And you may sign up to pray in a 30-minute slot anytime it's convenient for you. And when your time comes around, just stop and pray wherever you are. So after the service, Cherie, are you here? She's with the kids. Cherie Burrows will have a clipboard in her hand, and that will be the list to sign up for the prayer vigil. Then on September 12th, the actual World Day of Prayer, Thursday, Cherie is putting together a special evening service, Thursday at 7 p.m., not this week but next. Cherie is our licensed Unity teacher, you know, and before she moved to Wimberley, she worked at Silent Unity for 15 years, praying with people on the phone. So she has invited people from different religions to come to our service and read their prayers. And Kit will be providing the music. Now, this is not to be confused with the dedication of the Peace Pole, which will be September 22nd as part of the Sunday morning service, but that's later. Unity's World Day of Prayer and the United Nations International Day of Peace are 10 days apart in September, and we are observing them both. And both days, for prayer and peace, are about the consciousness we hold. They're about focusing our thoughts on what we want instead of what we don't want, because thoughts have creative power. We use our thoughts to hold a vision of healing for ourselves, for each other, for the planet, and for peace on earth. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a deep healing, cleansing breath. Deeply in, letting it out completely. And another deep cleansing breath. And bring your focus to the third eye, your mind's eye, right there between your eyebrows, on your forehead. Imagine yourself opening that eye very wide. That place of allowing in vision. Vision to one person in your life right now. Where you can can send love and light and healing. And it could be a physical healing, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. And simply envision light. Envision yourself sending that light to them. Envision that light coming from the deepest, most unconditionally loving place in your heart. You do not need the answer to their situation. You don't need to know how to fix it. You simply need to send light. So breathe into that light as if you were breathing onto a spark to turn it into a flame. That very breath of life. Watch it swirl. And the deeper you breathe, and the wider you open your heart, and the wider you open that eye, the brighter that flame, the brighter that light becomes. That is all you need to know. That love is carried out, sent to them, wrapping them like a warm blanket, knowing that at their heart level, and maybe even in an unconscious place, it is making a connection. Breathe into it one more time. And then bring yourself back to this place. Expressing our gratitude.